I think the most important thing to me is making a family of peers that do just love you for anything and will stand by you through the dumbest things you say and the dumbest decisions you make, and they realize that we're all dumb.
Welcome to The Biz Geek, the only show where we combine the lessons of business with the fun of our geek side to reveal the hidden motivations behind today's brightest entrepreneurs. Each week features a brand new guest. On Tuesday, we talk business, and on Thursday, we talk geek to uncover the secret origins of each and every guest. And as a special bonus, Sunday night, there's always a fun Easter egg solo episode to power your week. So grab some power pellets, go ahead, take plus five to relaxation, and join us as we boldly go. I'm so excited to introduce our guest this week. Anna Sabrian describes herself as the queen of all she surveys at Isle of Gamers, chief thought organizer at Illogical Associates, and the founder and chief executive officer at Elusive Comic and Games. She's also a mom, a wife, and a geek. I had such a fun time chatting with her, and I can't wait for you guys to hear our conversation. So without further ado, I would love to introduce you to Anna Sabrian. So welcome, Anna, to The Biz Geek. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
I am so excited to have you on. I forget which group I found you in, but when I saw you, I was like, oh, I totally have to have her on the show. I just love your business and everything. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your business.
So I am the CEO and founder of Elusive Comics and Games and Isle of Gamers. That's a comic book store and a tabletop game store. And then I am the co-founder of Illogical Associates, which is a publishing company. And my business partner for all three is Mark Masterson. I went to college with him, so I've known him for too long.
Oh, nice. Now, I didn't know about the publishing. I knew about the comic book store and the game store. I did not know about the publishing. That sounds very interesting. So tell me a little bit about your motivation behind starting all of this. You got a lot of stuff going on.
And I'm a mom. Each one has its own ridiculousness, and most of them are the result of odd, weird decision-making and not careful, thought-through, brilliant planning.
Uh-oh.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
But Mark and I like to say we do everything backwards. We decide all the good stuff later. Illogical is a current version of what used to be Elusive Arts Entertainment. That was a company that was a de facto partnership between Mark and a former artist we used to work with. They were working on a comic book called Dorothy back in 2004. Okay. And I was finishing my MBA. I was working full time. I used to be a homeowner's claims adjuster and then was working in homeowner's insurance as an analyst. So that's, I also have a retail background. So I have this weird out of college background.
Nice.
And thank you.
Sounds like lots of fun.
Actually, I really loved it. So I was finishing my MBA in e-business. I wanted to do something online, start my own e-business, you know, back in early internet days. So Mark and Greg had made this amazing comic. I said, this is awesome. I want to help you create more of this. Also, because I'm doing my final class for my MBA, let me help your company become formed. It was just sort of this general messy de facto partnership. So I put them together as an LLC. I came on board and we made stuff, and I learned about the comic book industry from the publisher side, from the ground up, literally knowing nothing, having only read Sandman, Preacher, and Lady Rawhide ever in my life as comics.
Oh, wow.
And I would call stores on Wednesdays, which is new comic book day. You just never call a store on a Wednesday. And I didn't know anything, nothing. But I met amazing comic book retailers. Some of them are here in the Bay Area. One of them was this really nice fellow named Andy, and he owned a shop in Santa Clara. the comic we did was live action. So we had an actual female playing Dorothy we did photos of, and we used 3D CG to do some of the background and foreground. Mm-hmm. So every time we flew her out from Arizona, Andy, who had a crush on our Dorothy actress, would say, "Oh, you guys should come to a signing. I just want to see Katie. She's so pretty. Come to a signing." So he was very supportive. He was very sweet. And he owned a bookstore called Brian's Books and Cards. He was not the original owner. That was this really nice fellow named Brian. And he had had the shop for like 23 years. Andy had the shop for about a year and a half. Andy is a very nice guy. He is a huge fanboy. He is, as he says himself, the world's worst businessman. So he took this really strong, amazing store and sort of drove it into the ground. And in 2007, by spring, the publishing company was kind of folding because the creators weren't getting much done. And I was tired of having partners that wouldn't do stuff because I'm a go-getter, do-stuff person. Right. And so Andy called me and said, "I have to close my shop by the end of the month unless I can find a buyer." Well, in May 2007, for the younger listeners, nobody heard of anything called a recession yet. And everybody still had money and their houses, and things looked great. Right. So I said, "Sure, Andy, I'll buy your store. I have a little bit of money left over from my aunt passing away, and I want to use it to start my own business. And I've got a house. I don't have to worry about buying a house. I already own a place. Nobody loses value in their houses anymore." Right. So I bought the shop in May. June 1st is the anniversary date we chose. And that was May 2007. So we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary.
Cool.
And I found out my theory was, if Andy just took my business advice for all the times he had called me saying, "How do I do more marketing? How do I do more outreach in the community?" If he had just taken all my advice, his store would flourish. Well, I was right. But I did not know that there would be a great recession starting about 4 months after I launched.
Oh, no. So,
but it was interesting. It was interesting to buy a dead store. I mean, I had to build the store out of being deeply in the red. I had to build the store through the recession. So my customers who had been shopping since Brian originally opened it, you know, years before, and they're losing their jobs. They're being told to do twice the amount of hours for the same amount of pay. You know, everybody's losing money. Houses are foreclosing left and right. My house was like a short sale. I went through a divorce.
Oh, wow.
The first year was awfully interesting. So I bought my shop sort of on a whim because I thought I had a great idea. And so that's how that happened. The publishing company folded, and I was very blessed to have amazing staff come along with the transaction. As I say, I bought Steve. He's my comics manager. Mm. He's been collecting since the early 60s. Oh, wow. He's a huge fanboy. He's also incredibly nice. Everybody loves him. I'm not going to let him listen to this podcast.
Well, I won't tell him.
So, you know, most businesses are in the red for 2 or 3 years. We were in the red for more like 4 or 5 years. And it was extra, well, because of the recession, right? We didn't come out of it till as an economy until like 2012.
Right.
You know, 5 years in at that point. But it was extra complex because in 2009, I was pregnant and I had a very interesting summer. So 3 weeks before I figured I'd start thinking about a maternity leave, I sat down my staff. I filled out a whole schedule for this is what you guys will work. So I never physically have to be here. I'll give myself a couple months off, then I'll be back at the store.
Right.
And then my son was born 10 weeks premature.
Oh, nice.
I had an emergency C-section, so I couldn't drive for a month to come to work. My son was in the NICU for 5 weeks. He had all sorts of health issues. Unfortunately, the Kaiser that we are at, that we went to is amazing. They're level one and he didn't have to be transferred, but they didn't have overnight accommodations. So every single day I was like taking a cab or getting a ride from somebody just to go to the hospital. And I'd have my staff come down to the lobby and bring me the deposit and the paperwork I needed and my mail.
Like,
okay, now go back to work. And I'd have to have my husband's. Fortunately, I have a very sweet and kind husband, and he would go to the shop and check on things for me. And Facebook is amazing, but basically I had to learn how to telecommute being a comic book store owner. And I didn't have any female friends, comic book store owners that at all could relate, because I didn't hear about the Valkyries, which is this incredible group of women who work behind the counter at comic book stores. I only found out about them a couple of years ago. So I sort of had to invent my job as it's sort of going, and everybody's just sort of struggling through their lives, through the economy, and somehow we made it through. Things turned into the black. Every single year, my shop has grown in sales and profit. And we went from this struggling shop, you know, in the depths of its money problems and the recession, to 2015, we were voted best comic book store in the Bay Area. 2016, we were voted best comic book store in the Bay Area. Nice. And our tabletop gaming section outgrew its space actually many, many years ago. And I kept hoping maybe one of my neighbors would move, but they didn't. So 2 years ago, so 2.5 years ago, I decided we just needed to move the tabletop gaming to a new location and make it its own space. And right across the street from my strip mall is another strip mall, and a used bookstore closed. And the property manager is super nice, very willing to accommodate us. And so I ran a Kickstarter to help raise some funds for part of the remodeling costs. Cool. And we moved all of our tabletop gaming over and made a second shop called Isle of Gamers. And I got staff over there, and their focus then is board games and tabletop gaming. So Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons. And it's now a very well-known tabletop game store in the Bay Area and sort of middle to the upper part of California. It's pretty well known. So we had all that going on in about 2012. My partner, Mark, we had stayed friends through the collapse of Elusive Arts Entertainment, and I'd been bugging him. Everyone keeps coming in saying, when is your next issue of Dorothy going to come out? Mm. And I would send him texts saying, people are still asking, you have to come out of your cave and create again. I know it was a blow when it folded, but you got to come back out. So we started talking ideas and coming back as a publishing company separate from my comic book store in about 2012. And so Logical Associates was born around then as a separate entity. 3 years ago, we ran a Kickstarter for a Wizard of Oz themed tarot deck, and that funded. And so that's how that started to get going. And then a year and a half ago, we decided we're going to all these conventions, all these costs and everything are overlapping. So we had Elusive by Illogical. So all three companies are now co-owned by both of us, with me as the majority partner. So I live and breathe one of the three companies, if not all of them, and I'm a mom to a special needs child, and then sometimes a wife. And
sometimes. He's in there somewhere.
Yeah. And we have a staff of 10, half part-time, half full-time, and we go to, looking at my list, about 8 comic conventions locally and West Coast. And that's my life.
Wow. That is one story, Mike.
A whole lot of, let's try this. Let's just see what happens. And, you know, nobody else recently has tried this. So let's just, you know, just do it. Don't make a plan. Just do it.
Sounds awesome. And you know what? If I would have lived anywhere near you, I'd be right there with you. And the whole NICU and the premature and all that stuff, I understand what you were going through and all that. I don't know how much you've read on me, but I have triplets. And they were 7 weeks early, and I was in the hospital for 2 months before they were born. And then they were each in the NICU for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and 7 weeks.
So you completely relate, you know, your life. Yeah. Your world becomes them. I am fortunate that I chose this as a career. So never had to worry about an 8-to-5 Monday through Friday fitting my special reality into somebody else's corporate culture.
Right.
I was able to create, as you understand, so important, the schedule that I and my son needed. He's high functioning autistic. He's got some motor skill issues that were far more severe when he was younger, but it was able to be that I worked from home for a year and a half. I would lose my mind getting behind in work. I'd make my husband come home, not for the day, but like stop working on his IT contract job. I'd say, okay, stop that. Come home and be a stay-at-home parent for a while so I can catch up on work. And then we would do that. And then I would lose my mind again. And so a couple of years ago, I'm like, okay, you don't have any flexibility in your job. So you just need to be the stay-at-home parent for a year.
There you go.
Because Ryan's got therapy 3 days a week and he would love to have babysitters and stuff, but it's just, it makes more sense for us to do this where he's the stay-at-home parent until we've gotten him really, really caught up with his peers and on a really good place. You know, he's mainstream schooled, so we don't have to worry about special ed or anything, but I just want to give him the best base right. to function from, and then say to my husband, you may now have a job again in your own life. And until then, please just part-time work while I stay on top of everything.
And how old is he now?
He's 7 and a half.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
He's rude to keep saying he's almost 8. I'm like, no, you're not.
My girls,
you're not 8, you're 7.
My girls just turned 10 and I'm freaking out. They're all girls. And so, I have 3 10-year-old girls, and my brain is just like the preteen attitudes and eye rolls and, you know, all that stuff. It's just driving me nuts. So
I'm just kidding. Ryan's starting to get that too.
Yeah, not fun. So let's move on to the model part of this. Now, being a retail store, there's a kind of a specific model behind the retail, I guess. But is there anything specific that you do different from any other retail stores?
No, I do a lot different.
Okay.
We stand apart from our competitors pretty distinctly. I'm very fortunate to know a lot of, through the Valkyries, a lot of women store owners. Well, fortunately for me, they're not nearby. They're about an hour away. It's a good thing because they run amazing stores. But I would hate to have them as closer competitors. But in my immediate vicinity, I have about 7 competitors in about 10 miles. Fair amount for a very niche industry. And except for one of those stores, they're all male owned. And the way my shop looks, the way I have the staff attend to customers, the way I approach marketing, all of the ways are very different from my competitors. From day one, when I bought the shop and it was this tiny little hole in the wall, it was take the posters off the wall, paint the walls a brighter white. We need light in here. No woman's going to come into a scary den hole like this.
Right.
You know, we want families in here. We want women in here. You are only going to make money if you increase your customer base. And we were fortunate to move the comic shop in August. I mean, I wasn't fortunate to do that. The fortunate part was that we found this amazing location. It's twice the size. It's big and has lots of windows. And we were able to raise a lot of funds to do a lot of remodeling to make it look super geeky. But the key is that we are very openly welcoming of women, children, LGBTQ, and particularly trans, you know, the T is super important, especially here in the Bay Area.
Right.
You know, even though we're behind in a lot of laws from other states, there's a huge community here. And I don't understand why any store wouldn't attend to every single customer that's a paying customer the same as they would any other paying customer. Right. And I've had so many women come in here and say, I was ignored. So many trans folk I've had come in and say they were rude to me. And I'm like, why? Thank you to them. I will accept your business.
Exactly.
I think it's ridiculous. You're a perfectly fine geek and you are welcome here at my store.
Right.
And so it just blows my mind that the stores don't realize that these are humans and they want to buy comics and they want to buy board games. Why wouldn't you make your shop open and clean and dusted and organized for all of them?
Right. Exactly. So then in marketing, so you got the store when it was kind of almost run into the ground, or it had been managed by somebody that probably didn't have a whole lot of business experience. So those first few years, especially during the recession, what kind of marketing efforts did you do to get it to build back up to where you needed it to be?
And I was broke too. I really had to do it on the cheap. So there was no big online advertising campaign. There was no bus banner ads like we've more recently done. There was nothing huge and costly in any way. It was the first month I bought the shop, I called every single comic subscriber, said I was the owner, said I hoped that they'd stay with us, and looked forward to meeting every one of them. And then a lot of the marketing was literally in-store, face-to-face, me being there. Uh-huh. As being a nerdy geek my whole life, I've not been the person people want to go out of their way to meet and hang out with until now. And so it's so cool to be in my shop and customers find out the owner and like, oh my God, I get to meet you. And realizing the power a business owner has to just say hi to a customer. You're building a lifelong relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I learned tips like that from other comic store retailers, not just all on my own, because I found some amazing mentors. Unfortunately, one of them passed away shortly after I bought my shop, but there's also been some other great retailers around the Bay Area that have been there to give me advice like that. Build those lifetime relationships. It doesn't mean you need to take them out to dinner. It just means you need to have a conversation, be interested in their life.
Right.
I thought when I bought the shop, I'd want it to be like Cheers. I'd be a kind of a Sam, and everyone, we would get to know their name. And well, it's kind of the similar comic book stores. People come in at least once a week. If not, some come in every single day, especially for tabletop gaming. We'd have customers come in every single day to play different games. Reaching out to them, how you treat every single customer on a daily basis is marketing. And so we started by doing that. A lot of growth on Facebook, just posting, this is what's happening today, pictures of what's come in. It's far more common these days, but 7-8 years ago, businesses didn't really all have the same approach on Facebook. And so a lot of, from my point of view, very, very casual, not always super formal, to make people feel like they were visiting kind of my own personal Facebook page of, this is what's going on, and post candid shots and just doing what we could to get the word out, going to local comic book conventions and handing out flyers, you know, super affordable things.
Cool. So now as the years have gone by, has your marketing changed at all? Have you added new avenues, or do you still really punch the personal relationship kind of thing?
Both. We've tried some high-end marketing. We tried the back of the bus, but didn't get much rebound from it. Fortunately, over the years, there's been a lot more Facebook groups of store owners, the private to just store owners, which is great. We could speak freely and say, hey, who's tried advertising in a movie theater? Who's tried co-venturing an advertising opportunity with the businesses next door? And then the stores are able to hear, how did that work? What was successful? Who made more money off of what kind of venture than another? And so as the business has grown and my budget for marketing has been able to eke up a little bit, then we've tried more interesting ideas. But I think all comic book stores agree the number one way to reach our customers is paid advertising on Facebook. Boosting an ad up on Facebook is the number one way to reach our customer base.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have necessarily thought that, but that's kind of interesting. Now, we talked a little bit during the motivation section about your family and all the different businesses you have. So the next thing I want to talk about is management. You have staff. Not everybody that I talk to has staff. So maybe talk a little bit about your philosophy about staff management, and maybe if you have any tips and tricks on time management, since you got so much going on.
Okay. Time management. I wake up and then I start working. About 4 seconds, I open my eyes and I'm always working. So even if I take a quote unquote day off from the shop, I'm always checking my email, replying to customers, forwarding things to staff. I'll be at a family dinner, checking my email and my texts. Oh, yeah. They're very, very fortunate and nice to me. I just am pretty much always working. I love to work, but I realized I inherited my father's workaholism. And so, you know, I love what I do though. And when I'm burnt out, I take a day off and I'll just Netflix and chill by myself, or I'll absorb an entire Philippa Gregory book, you know, just like inhale a book.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think I have good time management skills. I just am always working and have an ongoing huge to-do list, which I scroll through every day and try and knock off just like one thing. Cause there's always like 100 things not on your to-do list that you get done. And then there's like the major to-do list, like sign your child up for summer camp and pay vendors.
Well, that's probably important.
Yeah. So there's that, just trying to hit at least one of those a day to keep the to-do list manageable and not ridiculous. And my business partner was living in LA for all these years. His wife got a job up in the Bay Area. And so he moved up from Southern California in September. So me learning to give him some of my to-dos, and as he's getting more comfortable actually being a cool store owner, which he's not used to. He's used to being a tech in a library. Like, that's his job, or being a writer. That's his creativity. So me letting go and giving him some of that is helpful. As far as employee management, I think according to the book, when I hire a staffer, to me, they're becoming family. And I have a very hard time giving criticisms formally.
Right.
I've only fired 3 staff, 2 of them for an egregious act of rudeness to the store and disrespect to me, which is sad because one of them's still my husband's best friend. So we fondly joke about the idiotic days of his past, and he owns his stupidity, thank God. But fortunately, when things have sort of gotten difficult with an employee, usually they're ready to move on anyway. Right. And so before I have to figure out, am I going to have to write them up? They're usually resigning and moving on to something else, thank God. But I really try and make the staff themselves a family to each other. I think not too frequent meetings, because meetings are useless. I used to email everybody information. I made a Facebook page so it's easier for them to go back and research, you know, what was her policy on this thing. And it's easier for them to voice out opinions on things. If you send an email to your staff saying, this is a policy change, let me know if you have questions. 10 times out of 10, you're not going to get a reply.
Right.
Staff are scared to speak up. But on a Facebook group page, especially if you're posting a fair amount, making it fairly, you know, informal, then they'll say, hey, why are we doing that? Or did you order that thing that I asked you about? Or hey, could you check into this? It's an easier environment for staff to reach out. Now, Steve, the aforementioned Steve, is in his late 60s, is not a Facebook person. He's very much on the internet. He loves playing World of Warcraft, and he's got, you know, his online things, but he's not Facebook generation in the least. So he is not comfortable going on and checking. So I have to have a staffer designated to show him the daily posts and to get his input and make sure he's seeing the things.
There you go.
But I want the staff to feel like a family. That way they're able to trust and rely on each other. And if someone needs to call out, we have very few illness calls out because the staff don't want to screw each other over.
Right.
And if someone needs to take off a day, like my game store manager needed today off to take care of a friend of his at the hospital, he didn't have to feel guilty or anxious about reaching out to the other staff to say, hey, can you cover for me? Because they all have each other's backs. That's and I think that's very, very important. Yeah, if you are cold or overly demanding, your staff aren't going to want to be there for you or for each other.
Right.
So I also very much push for an open, honest atmosphere in all the locations. If I'm angry at one of the staff, they know immediately. And just because my disposition is different. And if someone screwed up, my channel manager has no problem saying, you screwed up. And then staff have to own it right away. They either argue it out that it was someone's fault or an oversight or just an accident, but it's right there and it's dealt with immediately. And I push that all of the staff to do that. Holding a grudge doesn't fix anything. It only builds resentment. And resentment is very hard to heal, especially in a staff atmosphere, much less a relationship.
Right.
So a lot of communication, a lot of informality, and a lot of making sure that they understand they all rely on each other to make our companies move forward. The more successful the company is, the more successful they will be.
Absolutely. So when hiring somebody new then, is there a consideration for all the other personalities and whether not just their ability to do the job, but their ability to get along with everyone as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
When we're hiring, I generally am always nervous about interviewing even people who have not been in my store. I don't care if they're a customer, but have they walked into my shop?
Right.
I get resumes and inquiries almost every single day. And if they're like, I drove by or I heard, and I'm like, I'm not hiring. Thank you. I'll take your information. But if you haven't even been in my shop, to know the personalities, we are sassy. We are sarcastic. We are rude to people we love because they enjoy that. Mm-hmm. We're a backwards, silly, honest, raw environment. And if someone is going to be very emotionally affected by that, they're not going to fit in here.
Right.
So I will go through the interview process with people and make sure that they know the basics I need them to know. And then I have at least 2 staff meet with them and talk to them to get a feel for their personalities. My last hiring round, I was really torn between 2 applicants. And we had to sort of go like, well, who's going to fit in best with how much we curse, how much we joke. It's only sexual harassment if you're offended. You know, it's you know, but that's very much what the staff say all the time. And they're so casual and informal with each other. If somebody was going to be very emotionally affected by that negatively, then they wouldn't be happy and the staff wouldn't be happy.
That makes a lot of sense. In managing your business, we're going to move on to a little bit on method. Is there any specific systems or processes in place, or do you specific softwares that you use to make your life a little bit easier? Talk a little bit about the tech.
Well, each shop has its own point of sale system. We've gotten frustrated with both and are in the middle of moving over to a third. They're all industry specific, so I don't know if you want me to name them.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. And then for day-to-day systems, we're pretty much a Mac company.
Oh, okay.
I prefer that because there's less issue with viruses and it's just simpler. Yes, it's more expensive, but the computers last a lot longer. It's so much easier to do upgrades. As I tell the staff, if they're going to look at porn, which they should not, I have less reasons to worry. but I work with all men. So if I'm like, okay, there's a matter of fact, you guys should not do this. This is against the policy. However,
right,
you will have keys to the store. So there's that. And then we use Deputy for scheduling. I went through a bunch of different things, but I found it to be easiest to do for scheduling. And
I haven't heard about that one.
Deputy, yeah. It's not free, but with multiple locations and multiple staff, I've really enjoyed it. It can integrate with QuickBooks and so forth. It's easier for me to check to fix a timesheet if someone forgot to clock out or forgot to clock in or to take their full lunch. It's really easy for me to go in and check and for my general manager to go in and check on everyone. And we use Google Calendars for the events at both shops, which is great because everyone can log in and see. And Google Drive, the stores each have their own Google email address, which is rarely used. It's really only used when our email goes down. We have our own store email. But Google Drive is so helpful because if we make a sale sign for one store, the other store can log in and see it. And we don't have to worry about which computer is this document saved on or what thumb drive. Just log into the Google Drive and you can pull up that old sale sign.
Right.
When we have tournament pre-registrations, I can log in from home, from anywhere, and see how many people are in this event. So Google Drive is just, you know, much better than pen and paper. So much easier to use with the multiple locations and the multiple staff. They can all add their own personal email address to look at it from home. Oh, it makes life much easier. And then Facebook groups, as I said before, private secret store groups so nobody else can really find it, to share daily, this is a new policy, this is a weird new event happening, do we want to be a part of it, give me your input. It's far more efficient than just an email.
Right.
And then email. That's how I live. Yeah, the staff will tell me something and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to remember in 10 seconds. You have to send me an email. And by having it in my inbox, that's in my face. I can't forget about it because I've got to scroll through and delete it or handle it.
Right. That makes sense. Cool. Well, thank you for talking to me about all of your business stuff. This has been extremely interesting. For you guys listening at home, Thursday we'll be talking about our geek side, so stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Biz Geek. You can join the conversation in our private Facebook group at thebizgeek.net/Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the exciting episodes we have in store at thebizgeek.net/subscribe, or just hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast player. And finally, visit us at thebizgeek.net for more info on who we are and what we have planned for the show. So until next time, live long and profit.